Now we're officially started. I'm recording it tonight because there's been a couple of these in the recent past that when we were done, I really wished I had recorded. So be aware of that. If you're somebody who doesn't want to have your voice recorded or whatever, that this will be recorded tonight. And if it's worth listening to, I'll probably post it as a video to my Odyssey channel, something like that. So if you don't want to be recorded, don't call in. So what's going on, Hey Farmer?
Oh, not much. Just, you know, life obligations, doing stuff, feeling pretty good. Things are really taking a turn for the best. So I'm happy. I hope everyone listening is happy.
Yeah, that's great. Great.
And if you're, you know, you're suffering through the latest iteration of the pandemic, we got a cure for that. And that's the official Telegram voice chat.
That, and we also have a cure for vaccine side effects. I prescribe 185 grains of lead to the cranium, and that will cure all vaccine side effects.
I thought it was vitamin C, D, and zinc. Oh, no.
No, that's to keep you from catching it in the first place. If you're getting... But we'll talk about this in a minute, but I did write a blog post today in which I think I had a couple of pretty unique takes in the way that I brought stuff together. But like I said, we'll get to that. But first, they are, you know, we ended the war in Afghanistan, right, Hey Farmer?
Oh, thank God the bloodshed has finally come to an end. Now we can look forward to peace and tranquility in Afghanistan.
Right. Well, it turns out that we are actually doing the whole B-52 bomber dance on them. This is from Daily Mail. He just sends in B-52s in desperate bid to stop the Taliban seizing key Afghan cities where British troops fought and died as fighters seized prison and set all the inmates free and laid this town to fall. B-52 bombers and AC-130 Spectre gunships are attacking Taliban terrorists. The Taliban have been advancing across Afghanistan as the U.S. withdraws. The Afghan Army and Air Force have struggled against Taliban insurgents. The U.K. government has advised all Britons to leave Afghanistan immediately. Wow, that must seem like a flashback to them. They've been getting advised to leave Afghanistan immediately, like ever since General Elphinstone got all of them killed.
I don't know. Is that a headline from 1842? What is this?
This is U.S. President Joe Biden has ordered B-52 bombers and Spectre gunships to target Taliban terrorists in Afghanistan who are advancing towards three key cities. The Cold War era strategic bomber first flew in the 1950s, but is still used due to its 70,000-pound payload and range of more than 8,000 miles. I want to stop right there because that's bad reporting, because that's all they say about it. And they make it sound like they're still like that the plane's just still set up like same as it was in Doctor Strangelove or something, right? And it's not. The B-52 is one of the most awesome, as it is one of the most awesome fucking things that was ever built. They, over the years, they've completely retrofitted them like a dozen times. I don't even know what the most recent one is, but I remember reading like in National Geographic when Desert Storm started, and they were showing how, oh yeah, you know, they've taken and they've changed the jet engines to these far more powerful engines, and they've stiffened the frames, and they've yanked out all the electronics and put all the latest computer shit and the payload and the bombs they drop and all this other stuff. They are just incredible. And if we lived in the United States of America instead of the Gay American Empire, the GAE, I would say that it's a shame that we don't make new ones, that we should make like 100,000 new ones and just, you know, so anybody fucks with us, just wipe them out. But I mean, other than nuclear missiles, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here, Hey Farmer, other than nuclear missiles, the scariest fucking thing in the world is a B-52 if you're on the wrong end of it.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think a lot of barely out of the Stone Age opponents that we fought in the past 60 years can attest to that. I mean, we got Operation Linebacker, Linebacker 2, Rolling Thunder, Arclight, and that was all just in Vietnam. It's Rolling Thunder. I mean, that's the name says it all.
Yeah, and you know, the Arclight strike, at least according to an old guy who had been in, who was in the Air Force during Vietnam that told me about this, he said the Arclight strike is the most amazing fucking thing you ever saw. He said that the bombs that they use are called earthquake bombs. Like, they drop them and they go into the ground before they blow up. And I can't remember how many that they fly in formation, all these fucking B-52s. And I can't remember how many of them it was and how many bombs they dropped and everything. But he told me all this, but he's like, an arc light strike happens in like moments. And when it's done, everything on the ground for 15 miles long and 7 miles wide is dirt. That's like, God damn. You know, it's like, it just whole city's gone. The bomb we dropped on Hiroshima, nothing. You know? And anyway, but yeah, now we're over there. Of course, this just shows how dumb everything is. Once we decided that we were going to withdraw, we should have just got the fuck out of there and understood that, of course, yes, the Taliban's going to take over again because, A, they're the most organized people over there, and B, most of the people who live there want that. You know, the only people who don't want that are these people we propped up. Hell, everybody that we've helped has to move here, or that helped us has had to move here now. I saw an article the other day, like, you know, the first 100,000 Iraqi and Afghan translators have just been given their citizenship. Oh, great. You know, just what we need, a bunch more non-whites who are traitors to their own people. I'm sure they'll be totally top citizens.
But, yeah, and in 50 years, Clint Eastwood's son is going to be doing like Gran Torino 2, and instead of Hmong, it's going to be, you know, some Tajikistani from the hills of Kabul, you know.
Yeah. You know, I really hate that movie.
Do you?
Yeah. It's well made, and it's got the good racist stuff in it when he pulls up and calls the black guys spades and all that stuff, right? But it's such an anti-white movie.
It is.
And it's got that Hollywood thing in it where they make a big deal to point out that like the whites in the movie are not old stock wasps or anything like that. You know, it's a Polish guy and he's in Detroit, and apparently, you know, he's been a piece of shit his whole life, and his kids are worthless, weak fagulas, and his grandchildren are spoiled, no good pieces of shit. And the only way that this guy can redeem himself is to sacrifice himself to help a bunch of Hmong foreigners, right? A bunch of non-whites, and like sacrifice his life for them. And of course, they're good, hearty, hardworking people.
Right, right. He is alienated from his family because his son is just sort of like a ladder climbing. I think he owns a car dealership or something like that. He's just concerned with his career, and his dad is just a nuisance, and the religion has failed him. You know, he's like this. I think he's supposed to be Polish in the movie, right?
Yeah,
yeah. And so, like, everything around him that he's stood for in the past and believed in is crumbling around him. His old neighborhood, you know, and his own home is sort of like a metaphor for his community and his life. You know, he maintains this immaculate lawn, and everything is just, you know, 1950s Norman Rockwell America. And his neighborhood is crumbling around him. There's just like, you know, running around abusing white kids.
If you do that, I'm not going to be able to post this anywhere, but go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, you can just send it to me. I can bleep that out.
Okay.
We are under a new regime,
but it's work.
Well, anyway,
he meant in words. He was talking about short pants. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I gotta remoderate myself. Sorry, I gotta click that button.
Yeah.
But you everything is like
talking in your own chat where there are no standards. Go ahead.
So it's been a while since I've seen the movie, but you know, he's really hostile to his Hmong. That's the correct way to pronounce it. Hmong. Neighbors, you know, because he's got this antipathy towards Asians in general because he fought in the Korean War, and you know, he worked in the Ford plant, and everything's closed down. The neighborhood that was a good working class neighborhood is just like racial aliens everywhere, and he's just alienated from everything, and he's living in this bubble that he's created in his own home. Detroit. Yeah. And then suddenly he understands that like there's a new generation that like though all those values and all those things that he fought for and cherished in his past have become reborn in the new ideal American. And that's, you know, right. This Hmong refugee.
Yeah. It's basically spawn. Like it could be a metaphor for just about anything Jeb Bush ever says. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, Jeb Bush was on top of this even just a couple of days ago. He's like, well, thank God we haven't stopped letting everybody from all over the world. I don't have the precise tweet in front of me, but he was like, oh, my God, thank God. We wouldn't have hardly any gold medals at all if we had the racist immigration policy that, you know, Trump people seem to want. And
where would we take our Mexican wives to have Indian food if it weren't for all these wonderful immigrants?
The best thing about the Olympics this time is that all of our blacks, for the most part, and all of our purple-haired lesbians and everything are not getting gold medals. We haven't gotten that many. And to be honest, if you look back in history, I remember the first Olympics that I was really aware of. Enough that it was like something, oh, hey, the Olympics, awesome, I'm going to watch this. It was the 1976 Summer Olympics, right? I was
like, talking about the Israeli soccer team?
No. No, but it was like, I was about 9 years old. And, you know, other than like sprinters in track and field, all of our athletes were regular white American athletes, and we just kicked ass. And, you know, we always have. So, yeah, I mean, oh, my God, what a horrible thing it would do to promote sports and stuff among our own children instead of just importing everybody from all over the world so we can hopefully get a few gold medals. And, like, the only other countries that are doing this are, like, Bahrain, you know, just any Arab country that's got a whole bunch of oil money, right? And then how does it work out anyway? Like supposedly our best female tennis player, that one, I think her name's Osaka or something like that. She's half black and half Japanese. She's an American citizen.
Haitian, I think, dad. Yeah.
And I think born here or something, but she's an American citizen anyway. And when she's playing professionally, she plays in America. And the Olympics come along, and she's like, no, I identify with the colored part of me. And she goes and plays for Japan. Unfortunately, crapped out just as bad as Simone Biles and our all lesbian soccer team
who got beat by like some blondes running through wheat fields.
Yeah. Oh, and even worse than that, then got beat by the Canadians.
Oh, that's gonna be rough.
Yeah. Oh, it is that Megan Rapinoe. You know, one of the things that she's best at, and of course, she's a lesbian, so she would be, is making everybody just hate the living shit out of her. Even people who, like, love lesbians and stuff like that, liberal, but just the way she acts makes them hate them. She, immediately after, she posted a thing, I'm like, I can't believe we got beat by Canada, freaking Canada. And this is just wrong. I mean, we worked so hard for this and everything. We deserve to win. And everybody's like, bitch, shut up. You know, you're insulted in the Olympics. You know, first thing you did, you insulted your own country, taking all these knees, making all these fucking statements. Then you go out there and you do a shitty performance and you don't win. And then you're going to insult people who beat you and act like this. Nobody wants to hear your shit.
Well, man, just so many things. So I don't know what the Blasian, what's her name? The tennis player.
Osaka.
Yeah,
I think okay, Naomi so she's, Osaka, something like that.
She's played professionally, and I understand that, like, you know, integrity and that kind of shit in the Olympics is out the window, but I thought you had to be an amateur to perform in the Olympics.
No, they changed that so that we can send our blacks to win the gold in basketball.
Okay, and, well, here's the other thing. Is our basketball team, I believe, got knocked out by the Italians. I may be wrong, but we got knocked out awesome. Even at our national pastime, which is jumping Negroids.
Well, they've gotten the crap beat out of them by white teams before. I don't remember specifically which one it was. Poland, too, right? The Polish team just beat the shit out of them, you know? It's really something. It's because, like, those guys will get out there, these non-American teams, they'll get out there and they'll play basketball the way it used to be played, where it was a coordinated team thing with strategies and, you know, stuff like that. And our blacks are playing it like you know, each individual one plays the game like it's a one-man sport. You know, it's just like, I'm gonna grab the ball and dunk that motherfucker. And that's what people want to see, I guess. That's what they're paying the big ticket money to go see them at the stadiums and buy their jerseys and crap. But apparently, like, if you get a team out there that plays the old style, it can beat that, right?
Yeah, like a coordinated team effort will beat just you know, pompous, you know, arrogant athletes any day. I'd also like to say that the Brits, I believe this is the soccer was part of it was a men's soccer tournament, right? Where the English really stepped up these Africans to be their, you know, prestige athletes, and they lost. They lost to a team that was like not highly rated. And this is happening to other countries as well. New Zealand, the first transgender powerlifter or competitor ever, I guess, like, couldn't even lift its own body weight or something like that. And I got beat by a Chinese chick who's like, looks like, I don't know, some sort of Samoan nightmare. What else was it? It was just goes on. But thankfully, Asmodor, the sport that I cherish and have always cherished since I was a hit puberty, female pole vaulting has remained pure.
Yeah.
And what a fine spectacle of competition and grace.
I saw the blonde-headed American girl that won the gold in that. She's very fit.
And live.
I think, and this may be an unpopular opinion, but I think that there's just too much bullshit in the Olympics now, and it's 100% because of making it to where it's not an amateur thing anymore. All these sports games don't belong in it. Soccer, basketball, all that crap doesn't belong. I mean, what's next? Are we going to have American style football in the motherfucker? You know, and all this bullshit, like, although I often say it's my favorite sport, but, you know, it's kind of a meme with me that, you know, women's beach volleyball, all this shit does not need to be in it. And because back when people actually enjoyed the Olympics, the thing that was cool about it is that it was all these sports that were, and like tennis, it shouldn't be tennis in the Olympics. Or if there is, then anybody who's ever made a nickel off tennis shouldn't be in it. I mean, and I get it that, like, these athletes who devote their lives to it need to be able to make a living somehow, but they ought to, you know, be able to come up with some kind of thing where, like, there's a set salary for anybody who is an Olympic athlete. And
That's what you do.
But you know, if you're an NBA player who is playing in the Olympics, you're off playing professional sports, making millions of dollars. You know, I mean, they may pay them something else, but I'm saying they shouldn't be out playing professional sports. And I don't think most of these sports should be in it. The Summer Olympics should be the track and field stuff, with, you know, the other traditional Olympic stuff thrown in there, and the Winter Olympics should be, you know, skiing and ski jumping and ice skating and all that stuff that traditionally that's been. And that's the one I always really liked anyway. That's where people really get hurt is in the Winter Olympics. Oh, man, when they wipe out good on like a 75-yard jump off that ski jump thing, wow, that is something to see.
Yeah, and the bobsled, too. When that goes wrong, it goes bad fast.
Oh, yeah. The luge.
The luge, yeah.
That's one.
The cannon of death.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't mean to derail, but before we forget, I do want to, I have an objection to that article that you mentioned, because it will slip my mind and I'll be laying in bed, tossing and turning, kicking myself for having forgot it. We were talking about the B-52s bombing in Afghanistan, and the article you read said the three major cities in Afghanistan. Bullshit. There are no major cities in Afghanistan. And 90% of the Afghanis still think they're fighting the Soviets. Yeah. So, well, as if there's
the thing is, if we are bombing any Afghan cities with our B-52s, that means we are blowing up the cities that we spent like $1 trillion building.
Yep.
You know?
Oh, well. you know, that's the number one thing for like people who are treading in the wilderness, right? Leave it like you found it. You know, don't leave any of your rubbish around, you know, clean up as you go. So we were traipsing around in the wilderness of Afghanistan, and we left around a lot of rubbish. So we're cleaning up after ourselves. We found a pile of rubble.
What about this, though, Farmer? What if, like, some, you know, Biden's people came to him and said, hey, got to get on out of Afghanistan. That'll be a feather in your cap. You can say you did this thing and Trump couldn't do it and blah, 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 blah. And he announces they're pulling out, and immediately the contractors from the military industrial complex come to him and go, hey, what the fuck? Now, we had an agreement when this whole thing started years ago that until every single bomb that we had built before date so and so was going to be blown up so that we could, you know, start filling some fucking orders here. And okay. Well,
hey, sorry, it was just,
we'll send the B-52s and just bomb shit. And those gunships are pretty, they're pretty nasty too. Like they can bank to the side and fly over something. And it's just a huge swath of, a huge area. So. Yeah. Where like there's a 50 caliber bullet hitting every square inch for a giant wide area. So they're really, I mean, if they're not just out there dropping bombs on nothing and shooting bullets at nothing, they're really fucking some shit up. They're doing tons of damage. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. We totally pulled out.
Well, as long as we got those bases in Kyrgyzstan, you know, we can just keep bombing them indefinitely.
You know, the United States, when it comes to war, is much the same as I've been about other things. I don't know how many times I've ever promised to pull out, but it was a lie 100% of the time.
You still dropped a megaton load.
Yeah. That's right. Here comes the arc light strike on your womb. Here come the bunker busters, baby. Anyway. So, it's just retarded. The whole thing is retarded. I mean, but what I was starting to say, and I think I got derailed from it when we were talking about it before, is if we're going to pull out, we just got to pull out. We've got to do it in whatever orderly manner keeps our troops from getting hurt. And we shouldn't be leaving all these stockpiles of weapons and equipment and stuff for the Taliban to seize, which they have. And we have to accept that, okay, the minute that we pull out of there, the whole fucking thing's going to fall apart, because I think after 10 years of them not being able to get their shit together, we've had another 10 years to figure out and understand that, yeah, nothing is ever going to run the way we want it to run over there unless we're there forcing that to happen. And the only way that we force that to happen is to have a big presence of troops on the ground and tons of equipment and planes in the air and drones everywhere. And we just, it's a dumb thing to do. And at some point you have to cut your losses and get out, but apparently we're going to, as long as anything is going on over there, that somebody at the Pentagon or somebody at Boeing or somebody at United Technologies or somebody in the Knesset doesn't like, we're going to have to do something, you know?
Well, this is one of the, no, I understand what you're saying. This is one of those things where a lot of people think, oh, what are we doing in Afghanistan? We're not winning. And this, or what, are they retarded? No, they're not retarded. Actually, the war in Afghanistan has been going very well for the people that, that are responsible for it. Yeah. It's not about winning or losing. It's the perfect forever war. It, yeah. it entitles them to greater military expenditure, new contracts, more graft, more greased palms in the legislature, and all, you know, all the defense procurement apparatus. It's an excuse if anything ever happens, like, you know, if a soldier gets shot or you know, something gets shot down, it's like, oh, we got to double down, and it's a new pool of recruits. It motivates soldiers. It's the perfect forever war. There is no legitimate danger to mainland U.S. or American citizens. It's not a real threat to us, but it is something that will get Americans killed. You know, we've got this culture of thank you for your service and all this stuff. It's like a lot of people say, oh, the FBI, you know, what are they doing? They're completely fucked up and they're investigating the wrong people. No, the FBI is actually doing a very good job at what they're supposed meant to do. Not their stated purpose. You know, not whatever statement of a purpose or whatever their mandate is, but what they're actually meant to do from the government's perspective.
They've got a congressional commission on the one hand and a mission statement on the other.
Right.
But the whole thing is just ridiculous. And it's, you know, the way that it works, it just shows how things are, on the one hand, are completely the same, but the way that they're done is completely different, because like the last English speaking empire had reasons to be there too, that they hugely benefited a very select few people, but they hurt the regular citizens. And of course I'm talking about the British Empire. They were over there, and like in the 19th century, their whole thing was like, okay, we're occupying Afghanistan and we're making these fuckers here grow plenty of poppies and stuff and make the opium and everything. And then we put them on British East India Company gunships and send it over there with, you know, the Hussars and the and the Highlander regiments and stuff. And we go in there and we force the Chinese to let us sell them the opium. And like the only people who were benefiting from that were extreme elites, and the people who were suffering from it was the average British citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on forever too, and it was, you know, it was just one of the things that piled up one on top of the other until it broke the camel's back of the British Empire. I get that the final blow to the British Empire was Roosevelt's demands at the end of World War II, but Roosevelt would have never been able to make any demands if Great Britain would have just stayed strong and not done all this shit to enrich the city of London and the East India Company and all this other stuff. And now we're doing the same thing, but the people that are being benefited are the military industrial complex, the media, the oligarchs that we have in this gay democracy that has been foisted upon us, even though we're not supposed to be living in a democracy. Well, you know, we have a contract, a thing called the Constitution, that says this is not a democracy, but everybody just acknowledged, oh yeah, it's a democracy. And they've been thinking that at least since I was a kid, you know. So, oh well, you know, this is America, man, we're a democracy. Like, no, we're not. I mean, effectively we are, but we're not supposed to be. Democracy is fucked up. Fuck democracy.
Yeah, and even in the dictionary meaning of the word, like, yeah, not a democracy, but what the average person that says that believes that we have sort of like national autonomy and that we have a government that represents us, and that our interests are what our leaders have in mind when they make decisions. And it's certainly not that. Whatever you think democracy means, whether it's republic, democracy, whatever, representative government, it's certainly not that. Democracy or whatever system we have is theater that is meant to just like shadows on the cave wall, you know. Well, it is something to occupy our minds and a spurious sort of idealism that is meant to keep us running on this gay empire hamster wheel.
Well, you know, democracy is this thing where the elites control all the institutions, and if you take it from cradle to grave of the citizen, they control the institutions like public school, where they make certain that they're not pumping out people who can think for themselves and be responsible citizens who are engaged in public affairs, but rather they're pumping out non-thinking Brave New World deltas who are fit to be workers and nothing else, and they're even taking that away from them, and they get you all dumbed down, and then they use the TV and the social media and all this shit to brainwash these dumb masses into supporting whatever programs that they want that will benefit this select group of oligarchs. And then they have their stupid paid off politicians in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party who take the heat for the decisions. And this select group of oligarchs at the top, and might I add, they're the only ones who can truly be called international elements because they do their business everywhere.
And call nowhere their home. Yeah.
They have no soil upon which to call their home. The people cannot follow them. I've got to stop. I can't continue doing this. Bad optics.
That's not a good look.
Yeah. It's as if we're quoting Hitler again. Anyway, look at the GIF Ace posted in the live chat. Anyway, so they don't even have to take responsibility for it. You know, these morons like Lindsey Graham and Nancy Pelosi, they take the hits, right? And they willingly take the hits, and they don't have to worry about anything happening to them because while they simultaneously throw open our borders, they build a huge border wall with an army of law enforcement officers around everything they have. So this is the system that you get with democracy, and the country was not set up as a democracy. It was set up as a platonic republic with limited suffrage, right? And there are a lot of things that you can point to that really changed it. And some of them are technical, you know, like actual laws or constitutional amendments that were passed. And some of them were, you know, slower brewing stuff like social changes. And they've really got us over a barrel now. There's no two ways about it. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't have a solution. I know where things are going, but I don't know what to do about it, but just to stay woke. It's weird how they have basically created a willing populace that are willing to betray themselves and their people by training their replacement, you know, kind of like what happens at these IT firms and stuff.
Yeah.
It's quite the thing. I had some other thought, but it slipped my mind. Oh God, it's getting late.
Well, you want to go? Okay, before we take calls, you want to go to the other thing I was going to talk about?
Which one was that?
Well, that's the topic of the blog post that I wrote today.
Oh, the vaccine and
You read the blog post?
I did.
Okay.
I also saw the child's animation that accompanied it. That I thought would be fitting in for like CNN, you know.
Oh yeah. I postulated a theory in this, and the theory is right there. Basically, the hypothesis is the title, and I did a few thought experiments and connected a couple of events. And so, of course, the hypothesis is the weaponization of mostly benign lab-created viruses for the purpose of global depopulation via mass-enforced vaccination, lockdown, food supply manipulation, and government regulation. What do you think that's a fairly accurate statement?
You mentioned that George... I do. I think it's perfectly plausible, and it doesn't even venture into the realm of... you know, novelty takes or anything like that, because this is what essentially what's happened with climate change and how they've used this potentially maybe real thing, and they've just used it to push all these different sort of initiatives that benefit them, give them more control, and essentially cut the legs out from anybody who may be opposed to it. You know, we it's just funny. It's like I was having this conversation with someone who's environmental scientist recently, and he was going off about how he can't actually talk about the conclusions that he's come to that are radically different from his colleagues, because those colleagues all get grants. You know, they're all basically have to play the game, whether they believe it or not. They're not willing to amongst themselves talk about how much bullshit it is. But he brought up, not me, it was like I was having a conversation with myself. He brought up about stuff about greenwashing and how we a carbon credit is just like ecological arbitrage. You know, we get to have all the nice toys, you know, cheap consumer goods and stuff like this, but we just sell our carbon credits. And because our nations are so in the West are so, you know, quotation fingers clean, and we just sell our carbon credits to countries that are producing all the cheap junk that we consume, and how I'm starting to ramble, but no, I think it's totally plausible because the template that they're using, they take this potentially vaguely dangerous thing and they use it to as a vehicle for their policies and their agenda. And yeah. I think it's totally possible. You know,
whenever all this technology and all this government and all these forces of control of masses are involved, Occam's razor is not that all this shit happened randomly and we're just responding to it the best we can. When those particular things are all involved, Occam's razor is the plan is unfolding as intended. We're just not telling you that. And let's go into it a little bit. The first thing that I said here, and this is the part that I think is really a unique take on my part, that somebody else may have come up with it and published something about it, but I haven't read it. And that's the part about weaponizing the virus. I wrote, remember how MRSA, MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, became such a thing in the early 2000s. It was a condition where you got staph infections, huge, painful, feverish, extremely pussy boils that did not respond to the antibiotics with which they'd always been treated. The medical community and media were upfront about the cause. Bacteria mutate, as does any infectious organism, and when over a period of time you treat a specific bacteria with the same drugs, the individual bacteria that have mutated in a manner that the drugs don't kill them, they live, reproduce rapidly, and create an entire strain resistance to either those drugs or all antibiotics in general. Now, let me step out of the text here. From what we've seen this with a lot of things, we've seen it with staph. We've seen it recently with some types of tuberculosis that are coming across the border, antibiotic resistant tuberculosis. This is a mechanism in disease that the general public that pays any kind of attention to anything like this has read about from time to time, but that anybody who works in the medical field is very familiar with, because we use antibiotics so much that, like, a lot of the old antibiotics that worked great for everything, you don't get prescribed them that much anymore, because, like, when they just, like, use some type of a methicillin antibiotic for this and use it for that, when they do that, all these other antibiotic-resistant diseases spring up, too, because of the way the antibiotic was working, and they have to constantly come up with new ones. So, anyway, and so, you know, the virus or the bacteria or whatever it is that has mutated just enough that the antibiotic doesn't kill it, that's the only one that lives. And so it reproduces, and it reproduces other viruses that are resistant and usually are more aggressive in the things that they do to the human body. And so anyway, I to continue just a couple more paragraphs here, and then we'll discuss this. Viruses are known for rapid mutation. I believe much faster than bacteria, but the speed versus bacteria doesn't matter that much. If we treat viruses with mRNA vaccines that make your body create spike proteins to fight off the disease, and we make huge numbers of people take it, then it logically follows that the viruses that mutate will be resistant to the spike proteins. And I guess more accurately, they'll be resistant to the antibodies created by the spike proteins, but whatever. And likely, as in the case of MRSA, far more dangerous and deadly than the original disease. Every vaccinated human is a COVID variant factory. Our illustrious masters here in the Gay American Empire tell us it is the unvaccinated, but the opposite is true. So go ahead, Hate Farmer. What do you think? Uh-oh. Did we lose Hate Farmer or did we lose me? If you can still hear me, press 1 in the discussion thing.
Sorry.
Oh, there's Hate Farmer. Okay. All right. They're pressing 1. It's all good. All right. So anyhow, you had to step away. So I guess, but I mean, I think this is a fairly obvious thing. And I also think that the fact that the survival rate of this thing is like 99.8%, and that's counting everybody from the age of infant to over 100, you know, and that's not me saying that people in their 90s who catch it have a 99.8% survival rate. I'm saying if you put them all together and you crunch the numbers, overall there's like a 99.8% survival rate. And so we are suddenly force vaccinating the entire world with an experimental vaccine, and all of the leading scientists, and like bombshell, Nobel Prize winner reveals COVID vaccine is creating variants. They all know this shit, and they're not willing to say it. There's a ton of pressure on them to not say it. So this sounds to me like that this could be a plan, because as I pointed out later on in the article, if your purpose is depopulation, then what do you do about all the people who won't take the shot? Right, because it's not the original COVID that's going to depopulate the world. Obviously, the shot is what looks like is the first wave of world depopulation. Because right off the bat, we know that in a huge number of people who take the shot, whether it's child bearing age women or men of whatever age, it's got a huge. It's a sterilant. It goes and rests in the women's fallopian tubes and in the men's gonads. And so there's that. And then, you know, there are a lot of people who are looking at this talking about, oh, yeah, you know, there's going to be waves and waves of people in just a couple of years who took this thing who are going to drop dead. Right. But so there's that. But then what about all the people who survived the shot? And especially what about all the people who refused to take the shot? Well, knowing ahead of time that if you give them all these shots, that will create newer and worse varieties of COVID, then you have a mass killer that you can't point the finger at anybody and say, oh, it's your fault. Oh, no, this thing mutated on its own, man. We were trying to help.
I guess that's who can say. I just wanted to mention you're talking about the how we create these new bacteria and viruses that are resistant to the therapies that we have. This is, according to my smooth brain understanding of evolution, that is precisely evolution, is an organism responds to its environment to become better suited to survive. And so the environment is our bodies. And the same thing happened. There was a couple of years ago, well, I guess 20 years ago now, that they came out with some new pesticide, and they were trying to kill these malaria carrying hordes of mosquitoes in Africa. And all they did was breed a super strain of pesticide resistant mosquitoes.
Right.
So I don't know if the shot here is that, meaning not the jab, but the actual agenda is to create people who are pliable and they willing to just be compliant, and those people survive, or if they're trying to get everyone who's compliant to take a virus that maybe the virus itself makes them sterile or docile, or if they have a longer term plan, like perhaps, you know, the shot itself is just sort of a rush rush job, so it makes people sick because it's got like all these untested chemicals and other interactions with the medication that people have, that normally these kind of drug interactions would be found out if they did actual proper clinical trials. And then later on, they come out with a booster that interacts, like kind of like a binary chemical. You know, you have two inert chemicals that are stable by themselves, but you combine them and they become reactive. Like maybe, who knows, 10 years from now, they find out a way to have this latent trigger in your immune system suddenly go crazy by giving you a new booster shot or something like that.
Right. And they're already saying you got to have a third. They're already saying you have to have a third shot.
Yeah.
But to go on here, like, I posted videos, and the videos are, one of them's from Sky News. I can't remember where the other one's from, but one of them, they're news videos. In England, 35% of COVID hospitalizations. Now, these are hospitalizations, not positive tests. These are people who are so sick that they had to be admitted into the hospital. 35% of COVID hospitalizations are fully vaxxed. And in Australia, 60% of hospitalizations, double vaxxed. Right. So everything that they're saying is bullshit. And every time people start figuring out that it's bullshit, they come out with another line of bullshit. The first line of bullshit was that the vaccine was going to keep you. It was going to be like a polio vaccine. Like, you take this vaccine for COVID and you will not catch COVID. Right. And then everybody started catching COVID. And they're like, okay, look, that we never said that you won't catch COVID. These are new vaccines, and what they're designed to do is, like, sure, you might catch the COVID, but you just won't have any symptoms. Oh, by the way, this means that everyone has to mask, including people who've already had the vaccines. We've got to all mask up again because, you know, even though you might not have any symptoms because of the COVID vaccine and you won't have to go to the hospital or die or whatever, you could be running around giving it to other people. So mask up indoors, mask up outdoors, whatever. Well, now that these numbers are coming out, you can hear it in the video that I posted. The Downing Street guy who's explaining, he's like, yeah, you know, 60% hospitalizations in Australia, blah, 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 blah. He says, but what you have to understand is, look, we always said the vaccine's not 100% effective. So, you know, yeah, I mean, the more people take the vaccine, the more hospitalizations we're going to have of people with COVID vaccine. And it is just leading stupid fucking people around with a lollipop. Like, look here. No, look over here. Look. Oh, look, a squirrel over there, you know, and it's never going to end.
Yeah. And what they're going to say is now, right, like the inconsistencies, like, well, you got to trust the science. Like, well, you know, I'm a fairly logical person. And, you know, you start to dissect it. It's like, okay, so now that you're telling me that vaccinated people can get sick, they can transmit it, and they, you know, they can get the virus, but it's only people who aren't vaccinated that have to wear the mask. Oh, and by the way, the new strain that is causing all these new countries to lock down again is because of unvaccinated people.
Well, there's two new strains now.
Oh,
there's another one today. We've been hearing about the Delta strain all this time. Well, they've just had cases pop up in San Francisco in the hospitals there of the third strain called Super Delta. And they're trying to make out like, this one, oh my God, this one's bad. This one's bad. Right. This one
will get your Turbo 7 vaccine.
Yeah. This one will kill you.
Summer.
This one will kill you.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing too, is like, I'm just shocked all the time because you see these otherwise normal people, or at least in my day-to-day life, I come across these people and they're going about their life, you know, and you say like, oh, isn't it fucked up? This place is closed. You know, I used to take my kids here or whatever. It's like, well, they're just trying to keep people safe and the vaccine. It turns out that they're fully vaxxed people. And it's like, how could you, believing in this, this fantasy of a pandemic, go about your life as you do? You know, if you were to turn off the radio, the television, and not check Twitter or social media for a couple of days, you would not know that there's a pandemic, except everyone's wearing masks. That's kind of weird. People don't normally do that here in the West.
Depending on where you live. If you live in flyover country, nobody's wearing masks.
Yeah, where are the bodies? I mean, it's amazing to me. It's like, this is a completely electronic virus that is transmitted into people's brains. It's not like, you know.
Well, and on top of that, they're telling us that we, you know, now they've gone back. Last week, the Biden administration said that everybody was going to have to wear masks. And his top guy at the CDC said that, like, even parents at home are going to have to wear, or not parents, but people at home are going to have to wear them indoors, right? And that, you know, we're looking at potential lockdowns again. And then, of course, there was such a backlash to it that the next day they were like, no, people misunderstood what we said. Oh, fuck. I had a point and I forgot it. Go ahead, man. Let me think a second.
Oh, you've contracted my my brain farts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No.
Oh, I mean, yeah. They're telling us all this about all the shit that we're going to have to do. And they're encouraging all of corporate America and all of the states and localities that are willing to do it to make vaccine mandates. And they're talking about they're going to force the military to have vaccines. Yeah, they're going to force
workers.
They're going to force medical workers and force people who work for the federal government and all this stuff, while simultaneously they are allowing so many COVID positive wetbacks coming in across the border that just in McAllen, Texas, they have already dropped. And this is just the ones confirmed, right? A confirmed 7,000 COVID positive illegal aliens that they force dumped in McAllen, Texas. Right. And these fucking people, they don't just sit and stay there. They dump them and they go all over the United States. They give them vouchers to get on planes and buses and go wherever they want. And they want to talk about some shit like, oh, a Trump rally is a super spreader, or, you know, any type of thing, you know, an anti-mask rally is a super spreader. Or a wedding or a church service is a super spreader. But they, when they want to do things, they do them. Like Obama just had his big party. And this is another thing from last week. You know, Lori Lightfoot, the radical black lesbian with a radical with a fro, as Jesse Lee Peterson says, mayor of Chicago, set up all these really onerous regulations to enforce on the city of Chicago, but somebody told her, oh, hey, you've got that thing starting like 2 days before Lollapalooza, she put it off so that it would start one day after Lollapalooza, where 400,000 fucking people all crammed together.
Well, let's also not forget, I mean, it's easy to forget these days, last summer when we had the Summer of Love, literally tens of thousands of people downtown areas all running around burning shit and Chaz Chop in the Seattle area, you know, like living cheek by jowl in these sort of like squat cities, you know, that was okay as long as you're fighting white supremacy and fighting, you know, the man, then like COVID can't touch you. But if you want to like go to church or work out at a gym, that's dangerous.
They should bomb Lollapalooza. Lollapalooza is a super spreader, but not of COVID. It's a super spreader of gayness and communism.
If I knew nothing else about Lollapalooza, just the name alone deserves its own art, well, like B-52, like earth-shattering bombing.
Well, I mean, it was started by Perry Farrell, the main guy of Jane's Addiction, right? And yeah, they made some good music here and there, but they're not. Well, honestly, I like one song they ever did. So yeah, they made one song that I like. but you talk about a gay retard. Perry Farrell is and always has been just a gay retard. And there have been some good bands here and there and everything. Like when they first started it was right in the middle of the grunge era. And so like on one tour they had Alice in Chains and Metallica at it. But it's a really gay thing. And I mean, if people want to go to Lollapalooza, fine, but don't be telling me that, okay, on August the 5th, I have to stay home and I can only go to the grocery store by myself with a mask on and go to work with a mask on, or work from home, or not allowed to go to work, or whatever the fuck the new owner's regulations are. But the day before that, it's okay for 400,000 people to cram crotch to ass and shoulder to shoulder in a baseball stadium or football stadium, whatever it was they had the thing in, and take a bunch of drugs and do a bunch of degenerate shit and listen to a bunch of fucked up Gen X bands that nobody's heard of or given a shit about since 1998.
Well, the upshot is like you're having a music festival in Chicago, so that means at least 50 people were shot to death by like drive-bys or something.
Yeah, probably 75 white women raped on the way in and out. But
I need to claim some clout here because I'm sure I wasn't the only one. I'm not claiming this is an original thought. I'm just saying that it was original in my own mind that when the shit first started going down, it was like April or May of last year, and they were talking about rolling out this virus, and it was Operation Turbo Speed or Warp Speed, whatever Trump said it was. I knew exactly what the shot was going to be. It was not going to be that there was going to be the Department of Justice was going to say it's illegal to exist without being vaccinated. It will be you will simply not be able to have actual citizen, an actual person living your normal life without having been vaccinated. Your kids won't be able to go to school. You won't get medical services. EMS won't touch you. You won't be able to renew your tabs. You won't be able to go to the grocery store. Private corporations, in the same way that the social media and the big tech firms are able to, because they're private corporations, be able to freeze you out of doing anything. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be a soft mandate. Yeah. And that's pretty much what it looks like is going to happen.
And not only that, Hate Farmer, Amazon is thinking about coming up with a way to force all their customers to prove that they're vaccinated to them, or they can't use Amazon services anymore. So, like, you can't go to the grocery store, and you can't have crap delivered to the house either.
And that's rich coming from the company that's made money hand over foot. Over the fucking pandemic, the people that can't go shopping, can't go to the mall, can't do ordinary things, can't go shopping, you know, their favorite pastime. And Jeff Bezos made billions and billions of dollars off the he's a pandemic profiteer, you know. Yeah. Now Amazon is good. Now that they've crushed all the smaller merchant retailers and you've got a complete lockdown on selling you shit. Now they're going to make you prove that you've been vaccinated. That's really rich coming from Amazon, but who would expect anything less?
Right.
But you know what? He went to space, so good on him.
Well,
had a great time.
Isn't it rich that this guy spends all this fucking money so that he can privately go to space and all the media and everything kisses his ass over it like he's the new Buzz Aldrin or something. And you know, just literally hundreds of billions of dollars to spend on that shit, but he's paying his employees like $8 and something an hour, and they have to sit in a hot cage and piss in an empty Coke can, right?
Right, and live in the parking lot. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I think we're about to the point of taking calls. So if you got something you want to call in about, raise your hand. Is there anything else you got on your mind, Hate Farmer, while we're waiting on the incoming blue raised hands?
No, not really. I mean, maybe something will occur to me, but it's just it's what I'm struck by as things go on, not by the individual cases or the novelty of this world. It's just how quickly things are accelerating. Maybe it's, you know, my age, I'm getting older, whatever. It's just things have changed so quickly. We went just from last year, you know, it's almost like we are living in a new era, and a generation has passed in 12, 16 months.
Yeah. Well, I do have one thing to say here, and you can give me your take on it, whether you agree or not. And it's okay either way, of course, as always. But in my opinion, this is where we make our stand. When they come to you and they tell you, you have to have the vaccine to keep your job or to keep some kind of benefits you've got, or to your kids have to have it to go to school or whatever it might be. This is where all the staying below the radar and everything flies right out the fucking window. You tell them, no, fuck you, not happening.
Well, I believe the system is probably anticipating that, and they've got measures in store for you.
I'm not talking about resisting with arms. I'm talking about refusing to participate.
I know that. Yeah, no, of course. And I think that they have measures in store for that.
You just might have to deal with that. But at some point, you're talking about faking it or whatever, but
creative solutions to novel problems.
Well, there's already people getting caught doing that shit, and they are not going easy on them. I read I don't even remember what part of the United States it was in, but they caught a couple of people and they gave them some amount of jail time and fined them each $15,000 for handing out fake shot certificates. And, you know, maybe you can find somebody to do that shit. But, you know, like we said on the DUA stream, which, by the way, for everybody listening, if you didn't catch the Duckschwand Uberallis that we did last Saturday, I think it was a really good one. I was surprised at how much cussing I was doing in it when I listened to it. But it's just because I'm out of practice, I guess, and I was just talking like it was Hate Farmer and I talking on a voice chat or private voice chat or something. But anyway, there was a lot of good stuff on it. But as I was saying on that one, they are going to be a lot more hardcore with anybody who is in a position to write or to authorize the passports, you know, the whatever the mechanism is going to be to prove that you've had the shot. And I think it will get to the point like where every pharmacy and every every clinic and every doctor's office and every nursing home and all that, they'll have some fucking FBI agent in there pretending to be an orderly or a pharmacy tech or something, just waiting to catch these people. That's the thing, you know, everybody thinks that nothing works because the government is incompetent, but that's not true. Nothing works because that's by design. Whenever our overlords, if they actually want to shut something down or whatever, they do it. It's not hard for them at all. And they have the unlimited resources and unlimited personnel and all this. All right. We've got a couple of callers on the line. You ready to start taking calls?
Sure. Since there was a comment directed at me in the chat here, it says, John's Johnson.
Oh, fuck them.
Yeah, bro. You got to move to a favorable state who put up with a resistance against this. Sorry, Hate Farmer. You're going to have to move from the PNW. Yeah.
Oh, well. You don't have to necessarily move from the PNW. Does Idaho count as the PNW?
I believe it does, yeah.
Well, you can just go there. But anyway, I would love to go there. I've watched videos like of people building cabins there and people doing winter sports there and stuff. You know, depending on the part of the state you're in. I don't want to be out on the damn flat, worthless prairie. But if you're near the mountains there and stuff, wow, is that a neat place. But anyhow, okay, we've got three people on the line. We've got LK Hook and Man Animal. And I'm going to take them in order. But before I take the first call, which will be LK, I don't know if he was listening at the beginning. LK, I am recording. And I'm saying this for Hook and Man Animal too. I am recording. And this will likely be posted at least to my Odyssey channel. So anybody who doesn't want to be recorded, put your hand down now. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. Okay, LK, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Asmodor. I just had a few, thoughts and questions on the subject. I saw Nick Fuentes' show. He actually did a good monologue on the topic, and he said that if you, like, basically fuck around with the like faking a certificate in any way on principle, you're still basically caving to the system and propping up the vaccine passport system that they're trying to put in place, along with all the like legal trouble that you just mentioned.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's true. That's true. And I suppose that's a choice everybody's got to make, you know? And in spirit, I totally agree with it. But, you know, Nick still lives with his mother and doesn't have a wife or a kid or have to worry about fending for himself. So it's easy for him to say that kind of thing. And like I say, I agree in spirit, but, and I think that that's right. It's a thing that I think everybody's going to have to suss out for themselves. But my advice is for them not to do that because it'll get them in so much fucking trouble. Because, you know, once they start rolling out these mandates, it's not going to be some piece of paper. Like, you know, I know some people who've gotten the shot, and I saw their card that they get that says that they had the shot. And it's like these pre-printed cards. And, you know, most people are getting their shots at a pharmacy. They're not even going to the doctor to get them. And whatever pharmacy tech gives them the shot just takes a pen and they fill out the card. They put the name in there. They put which particular shot they took. They put the date that they took it. And then it's got a thing on it for first dose and a thing on it for second dose. And, it, you know, if you knew somebody who had one of those, you could put it on a, you know, you could scan it and you Photoshop to take the crap out. Make copies of it and fill it out yourself, but you're going to get in a bunch of, maybe not you particularly, but it's a thing that's, it's going to be more dangerous than like cooking meth in a shack next to the police station. Seriously, they're going to be hunting for that kind of thing that hard. And the penalties are going to be ever more severe, but even with the fact that you could do that with that card, you're not going to be able to do that for long, because once they start really rolling this shit out, as we said on the last Ducks Land, they're going to come up with some kind of, you know, they'll have some algorithmic equation, you know, like what a Bitcoin is or whatever, that you can't break. And you're going to have to download it to your phone. And if you're one of the rare people who refuses to have a phone, then you're going to have to pay for some kind of an ankle monitor with a chip in it or something to prove that you've had, or I don't know, take a tattoo on your hand or your forehead or something, right, like, or that to, or prove you
have like a biometric chip ID in a database. And look, I'm not suggesting anyone do this, and I'm not going to mention what it is, but there's, if you think about it for a moment, there's actually some pretty obvious ways to, you know, just Photoshopping a card. That's
well, I know.
Play. I'm not even we talking about
we just, we discussed what the other thing was, but I think that's going to be a harder and dicier thing to do than you're thinking it is. I think it's going to be real hard to find anybody who's willing to do that. And if you do find somebody who's willing to do that, they'll get caught.
And then they'll, yeah, everyone who's,
and even if, well, they don't tell, you know, it's a thing that's entered into a database, and exactly, they'll look at, yeah, the database, and they'll make everybody who's gotten a card from them come through and prove that they actually had the shot and all this shit. And if they didn't and they got a fake card, they'll be in trouble too.
Well, thankfully we're also not in a situation yet, where that's necessary. I mean, you can still lead a fairly normal life and not have been vaccinated. We don't know, yeah, what the future holds.
It's, well, just a, and
you know, I mean,
another thing is, do the religious exemption. I've posted it before and I'll post it again. Andrew Torba over at Gab posted a link to a file that has all the forms to do the legit religious exemption, and that's the thing to do with your kids and stuff like that. Do the religious exemption. You know, if you're not somebody who's wanting to be like, you know, fuck all this noise or whatever, do the religious exemption. But go ahead, Hey Farmer, I interrupted you, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I just you know, it's like anything else, you know, don't immediately jump to the most extreme solution. You know, it's perhaps now is not the time to, I don't know, leave the country or build a cabin, no, off the grid in the woods or something like that.
Oh, it is, it's the just, time, you know, for that.
Yeah.
if you can, it's time for that. I mean, but, you not necessarily full bore cabin in the woods, but it's right now, it is the time, if you can afford to get as far away from any major city as you can. Like, you know, if you own a house somewhere in a city or in a suburb of a big city and you're able to, the thing to do is to sell that house and to buy some house with a little bit of acreage that, okay, yeah, maybe you got to drive an hour, hour and a half every day to get to town to work, but
That would have been a smart thing to do 5 years ago, you know, COVID notwithstanding. But
the thing is, the house you're selling, the price of it is just as inflated as the house you're going to buy. That if you've already got a house, right? If you it's rough.
It's not a financial consideration. It's a quality of life and like a long-term future sort of consideration. But we do already have all these methods of control and tracking of individuals. You know, like you have people who are illegal aliens becoming DAs in California. Now, I mean, obviously there's political reasons why those people aren't being got after, but you know, I mean, the system isn't perfect. And there's, we have tens of millions of illegal aliens who are living perfectly normal lives in this country. And like I said, obviously the political will is not there to go after them. But, you know, I mean, it's not the time to go underground or do anything drastic. I have a hard time believing that it's actually going to get that bad. I hope I'm right. I hope be wrong.
I hope you are too, but I'm pessimistic. LK, what else? You said you had several things you wanted to mention or ask about.
I guess just a final comment on that particular thing. I just keep thinking of like going to the grocery store. You could probably like have one older person in your family like get vaccinated, and then they could be like doing it for everybody else so they don't have to get vax. Yeah. I don't know. A little circumventing like that. But I was just kind of wondering, like, I've been looking at the Daily Stormer, and Andrew England is kind of blackpilled on the long-term prospects. Like, he's saying we've lost and stuff like that. And I'm kind of wondering what you guys think about that. And
I'm not as blackpilled as him, and I'm not accustomed to disagreeing with him, but I think he's in a very blackpilled place right now, and I think that has a lot of effect on the stuff he's posting. I'm an eternal optimist. I have even though most people are stupid, I have faith that our people will survive, and I have faith that I have faith in God, and I see signs of things really improving as far as people waking up to stuff. Maybe not to all the stuff that we want them to wake up to, but to a lot of important stuff. And all this vaccine mandate stuff and all this CRT stuff and all this kid training stuff, it's really, really starting to take a toll on your average regular person out there. And the border stuff too, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right. Was there anything else on any other topic? Oh, go ahead, Hate Farmer. Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned faith in God, and I'm a filthy heathen, and I still believe in the struggle. I don't know if eternal optimist is the term I would use, but I mean, like, all of life is struggle, and I'm willing to keep on going, even if I don't see any change in my own lifetime. And I think, in fact, that is the source of a lot of people's despondency and despair, is that they want to see change in their lifetime. They want to see total victory around the bend. You know, the new dawn brings absolute, you know, we're on top. And that's simply not going to happen. And that's childish to think. You need to be thinking about your children, your grandchildren, about what kind of, what at least you can maintain and provide, and what you can do for them today, so that they'll be better off tomorrow. And yeah, maybe the trajectory within your lifetime is downward. That doesn't mean you roll over and die or stop trying. And I've been joking. I've said for years, like, if, you know, tomorrow we gain power and suddenly Asmodor is the Fuhrer, you know, I would lose interest. It's like, oh man, what am I gonna? I guess I'm gonna have to be
I would have you in charge of things that go boom. Come on.
Oh, I guess that would be fun. But you know what I'm saying? The joke is, like, you know, if there's
just a struggle. I would let you design your own uniform, Hate Farmer.
Ah, you piqued my interest. But you know what I'm saying?
Let him who will fight, fight. And in this world of eternal struggle, those who will not fight do not deserve to live. That's all I know. I heard that somewhere.
Oh, there was something else. I was having a chat with Uncle Ted, and he brought something up that I'd heard about in passing, but didn't give it much thought. That the part of this, there's a lot of new directives that are coming down the pike that don't get a lot of coverage. And one of them is the FDA, the same time that they're mandating all these vaccines and new health regulations and stuff, they're saying that like foods that are beneficial to your holistic health, things that, you know, like have vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc, and what is it? Not additives, supplements. Yeah, they'll be banned by the FDA. And
no, that's it. No, not by the FDA. They're going to be banned by the infrastructure bill.
Oh, maybe that was it. And yeah, so we might all be in a situation instead of like, you know, 10 years ago, it was like, man, you got a hydroponic in your closet. You're growing like some really good kush. Now it's like, hey, man, you got some organic vegetables. I like those, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You got any of those, heirloom tomatoes?
Yeah.
But yeah, anything else, LK, before I go to the next call? And Hook, if you still want to talk, raise your hand again. It went down.
Yeah, just do you think they're going to set up like checkpoints on the road, or like have police officers and grocery stores and stuff like that? Or
doubtful, unless there's some kind of big acceleration, like they claim that people are dropping dead left and right from the super Delta or something. And even then, you'll only see it in certain places. That you, there's starting to be a real alignment of region against region, you know, and for the most part, it is a grassroots up thing. Like in Texas, you won't be seeing that sort of thing. And it won't be because Greg Abbott's based. He's the opposite of based, but it's because he's a political animal, and the Texans who vote for him won't stand for it. And like in Florida, we already saw DeSantis, who is totally not somebody that I shill, but you know, as far as governors go, he's about the best one right now. Not that that's saying much, but he just had a big thing. He made an executive order that it's legal for him to do under some law that they passed last year, that they will not be requiring masks and COVID vaccines and shit for kids to go to school. And if the federal government steps in and says that they're going to cut all funding for public schools if they don't have a certain percentage of kids vaccinated or whatever, then the state is going to provide funds for people to send their kids to private school or homeschool to circumvent that. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's just going to get worse and worse. And it shows... It shows in the ratings. You look at the ratings of shows where they push and push and push the vax. A good place to look is like Fox News. Fox News daytime ratings, which should just be through the roof because now that there's no Trump for the other networks to scream about, Fox News daytime should really have a much higher market share than it does, but it doesn't. Tucker's ratings are through the roof, and Hannity's not so high as you'd think they'd be, especially following Tucker and holding the most primetime spot, you know, the 9 Eastern, 8 Central spot, because Hannity's real wishy-washy about all that stuff, talking, you know, he doesn't think people should be mandated, but he's a total vaccine respecter and all that. And all this stuff shows that people in the Deep South and the Rust Belt and the Midwest and all that stuff, they're not down for this shit. The people who have already taken the vaccine are basically, that's the people who are going to take it willingly. And a huge chunk of the people that have already taken the vaccine regret it. All right, LK, thanks for the call. I'm going to go on to the next caller. All right.
Thank you, LK.
Yes, thank you, LK. Good questions. Hook, you're on the air. Unmute yourself, sir.
Oh, there we go. That's the button. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, going pretty well. Are you talking through a fan?
Am I?
You're all static.
I was just breathing heavy, probably. I'm a mouth. Oh.
Yeah, well, it's not the breathing. I mean, like, you know how you talk through a fan and it goes brrrr. You've got a lot of static. But go ahead. We can understand you.
Oh,
no. Oh. It's probably the stupid app.
But man, I was in such high spirits.
No, go ahead. And, go ahead.
I just got back from a freaking concert. So, I'm kind of on cloud nine right now. Thousands and thousands of people unmasked and having a great time and not a care.
Somebody read Hook the Last Rites.
It was funny. Like, as we're walking in, like, you know, at concerts, like, you can't bring certain stuff in. Well,
yeah.
So there's like a there's a lawn chair graveyard outside of the security to get into the place. Yeah. And we get back there, get through there. I'm like, well, there's the graveyard. And we get into the middle area before you actually scan your ticket to get in. I'm like, well, this is purgatory. And then when we get into the show, there's the afterlife. And then It was just kind of like we got in there and it was a sea of people, thousands and thousands of people. And, you know, there's like maybe 20 people wearing a mask. But, you know, I'll even say, I mean, I'm in Florida, so it's, you know, it's really not – there's, you know, the mask respecters around here, but it's not really, nobody really cares. I mean, right. After over a year of this, I mean, and even talking, we're leaving the show and just talking to people walking out to our cars. And I'm like, you know, we've gone through this for a year and a half. How good did it feel to come out here and enjoy a concert in the open air and just hanging out with thousands and thousands of people? They're like, man, it was just... The people there were just so happy.
You don't realize how bad it is until you have some kind of an experience that reminds you. Like, I posted a couple of weeks ago on my Odyssey, I posted a show like from January of 2020, and it was just before all this shit started to be a thing. And I started listening to it, and I was reminded of how it feels not to have all this COVID shit going on. And it's a whole different thing. And unfortunately, I mean, we're still under it to a certain extent. You know, there's constantly danger of other bad things happening to us for the excuse of COVID. But man, it's been a really, really long year and a half since this whole thing started to ramp up. And then they shut us down, and no matter where you were, you had some level of a lockdown order. And, you know, even like DeSantis and what's her name up in South Dakota, you know, they try to claim they never had them, but they had them, you know, and, you know, to one degree or another. Here in Texas, it was so bad that if you came driving into Texas and you had an out-of-state license plate, the highway patrol would pull you over. And if you weren't driving directly through the state to another state, if you were going to stay here, like you were coming here to visit somebody or something, they would make you quarantine by yourself in a hotel for 14 days. And so, I mean, it was really like that, but,
you'd have to pay for it. Or?
I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I know they did it to a lot of people, but, and we had a statewide mask order too. And, you know, if you lived in a smaller town or a rural area or whatever, compliance wasn't that high. Like right at the beginning, it was maybe 50-50. And like, I'd come walking out of a grocery store and people would stop me coming out and say, "Hey man, are they making people wear masks in there?" You know, I think it's kind of optional or whatever. But after just a month or two of that shit, and almost nobody wear them. But dude, in the city, like in Dallas and Houston and Austin, they're all fucking masked up still, you know? And, but it was just total mask shit there. Like if you were in a big city and you went into a place without a mask, regardless of whether the owners and proprietors believed in the mask, they'd stop you because like these fucking cities were sending cops out, uniform and undercover, and they and health department people, and they'd walk into a store or a restaurant, and for every unmasked customer that was in there, they would fine them $1,000. So if you got a restaurant that and you've got 100 people waiting in line, And 30 of them don't have masks on. It's $30,000. So of course everybody was forcing you to wear them everywhere. But like, and the crazy thing was like at a restaurant, like I walked into this Mexican restaurant and I wasn't dining in, I was ordering takeout. And so I had to stand there with a mask on, but people a few feet from me, because they sat down at a booth, once their drinks arrived, since they're sitting down at a booth to eat and drink, they don't have to wear a mask. I'm like, okay, so they can't spread the COVID that's going to kill us all, right? But yeah, I'm glad you went to the concert. Was there anything else that you wanted to ask us or talk about?
Well, I just kind of wanted to I kind of show people that there's still a world out there, and it's not, they can't quarantine everything. You can get back to normalcy, and outside of what they are mandating or whatever. And I'm of the same mindset, which you were saying earlier, was that, you know, you believe that we're going to get out of this and we're going to be stronger for it. And I totally believe that. And I really don't have an option to not believe that.
Right.
I've already added 2 children since all this began. So
cool.
And I mean, I don't have the option of
that. Well done.
There's no not making it through this, whether it's in my lifetime or not. You know, even my grandparents, my grandmother, 80 something years old, and she's like, why do you keep bringing kids into the world? I'm like, why not? What am I going to do for the future of this country? You know, what am I going to do besides create more children? I'm not going to become president. I'm not going to become a governor. I've already kind of made my bed in life. I need to procreate. I need to do exactly what God told me to do, you know? Yeah. And there's no other reason we're on this planet than to, you know, procreate and leave it to our children. Make it as good as we can for our children to make it as good as they can. Yeah. And if we're not doing that, we are going to fail. I mean, there's no other, you cannot continue a civilization that isn't procreating. You can't,
right.
You can't, what was that famous thing that Steve King said? Yeah, you can't
maintain Western civilization with other people's children.
Exactly. Exactly. Hmm. And that was very, it's such a great way of saying it too. I thought that was the most base thing I ever heard anybody in our government ever say, but
that's all
I got for you.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Yep.
Thank you, Hook.
All right. All right. Who was, Man Animal had his hand up, but it's not up now. Looks like he's not in the chat now. Okay, if anybody else wants to talk, get your hand up, because we lost the next caller. And if they don't, I guess that means our job tonight is over, right, Hit Farmer?
Oh, yeah.
Well, while we're waiting to see if anyone is going to call in, I want to remind everyone, and if we got any mods in here, they can post links to this stuff. They can just go over on the channel and grab the links. I put new merch in the merch store yesterday, and it is some of the most based, awesome merch. This merch has literal magic powers. I've got a new big 15-ounce mug that is the Chopper Rides graphic, the one where you've got me piloting the chopper and Hate Farmer and Tony sitting beside tied up prisoners that are rats of a somewhat Levantine appearance that they're about to throw out of the chopper. I made a mug of that, and it's the full graphic wraparound mug. Those are awesome mugs. Uncle Ted posted a picture of one of them he has, and I made a poster of that too. It's a big 16x16 poster. And what is your wall without a TKR poster on it. I'll tell you what it is. It's an ugly, boring piece of shit. So buy a bunch of them, wallpaper your entire house with them. And also, we have a TKR pillowcase now. It's got the Wrecking Crew on it. So you never sleep alone. You're sleeping with the Wrecking Crew. and the candle. There's a candle, too. I wasn't going to make a candle, but I put out a poll. Do you want a candle? And the answer was yes. Make a candle. So there's a candle with the Mount TKR image, the Mount Rushmore image with our heads on it instead of the original heads. And it is vanilla scented, which is appropriate since I'm assuming only white people will buy it. And you better get to buying the shit because I went and looked and there was only one order for two items. That's the first thing I've sold on the merch store in like a month and a half. Also, my Monero, don't forget that. There's a Monero. It's on the channel. It is the pinned post. Monero, it goes down good. It's the real thing. All right. Hey, Farmer, it doesn't look like we're going to get any more calls. So why don't we plug all your stuff real quick?
Sure. I occasionally, perhaps twice a month, do Ducksland Uber Alles, which you can find on Trovo.
If you was any kind of a man, we'd do one tomorrow.
Yeah, we might be able to do that.
Yeah, all right, cool. Cool.
You can find us at trovo.live/Ducksland. That's DUCKSCHLAND. Kind of like a play on Duck and Deutschland, if you didn't get it. And basically just, what was the last show we did? Oh, yeah, that's right. NM95 butt plugs. Yeah. And Asmodor is gracious enough to often come on and chat with us, interact with the chat. Other than that, I have nothing to plug. Oh, but if you do go to my Trovo page, you can see there are links for my Odyssey archive account. So I've been posting some older episodes. I've been meaning to do it sequentially, like from beginning, you know, working my way back from the very first episodes and going up, but that's kind of rough, you know. Like I want to put some of the newer episodes up there, but then I won't have the I've been numbering the episodes, you know, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I don't know what the latest episodes would be, you know, episode 92, whatever. So I think that filing index system that I have is kind of, I don't know, it's gonna have to be reworked or
if you've got them on your hard, if you got them on your hard drive, you can find out what date you saved the thing, and you can just post them by date or something.
Yeah, I include the date too, but yeah, I got to work it out.
You need intern.
I do need an intern. So if there are any large titted Asian women that are, you know, bilingual, you know, speak English passably well, and I'd appreciate you dropping me. There's an email address, ducksland@protonmail.com. I check that occasionally. But yeah, don't really have much to plug. Hopefully tomorrow there will be a show, and I'll let everyone know in the Telegram group. Obviously, get yourself on Telegram. That's why you're here. You can find Ducksland.
Yeah, it doesn't do much good. Well, I mean, this will be going up on my Odyssey, so I guess it does good. Tell them your Telegram.
It is t.me. Oh, I'm just going off memory here. What is it? It's Ducksland, goddammit. And I'm also Swain Laughlin on here. So if you just search
my name there. They've got to email you first to ask, like get vetted for your Telegram, right?
Yeah, but there's the show channel where I post.
Oh, you got a channel. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And that is.
Well send me a link to that. I had no idea when this is over.
It is t.me/DucksLandUberAlles.
Yeah. They'll have to wait for the link because, you know, it's this German spelling of a non-word. but I will post a link to it. Also, my Odyssey. If one of the mods happens to have my Odyssey link, please feel free to go ahead and post it. But if you don't, that's cool. But I'll post my Odyssey link in the... channel later, so that you can go over there and give me a follow on Odyssey. And I'd sure appreciate it if you would hit each of the videos at least long enough to give them a view and click that fire button. And, you know, if you've got the energy to make a comment, all this stuff helps to move the channel up in the Odyssey rankings so that when we do start streaming, maybe we can get a little bit of a footprint over there. That damn Ethan Ralph is going to have to contact me and give me one of these alleged, what is it he gives people? He gives them a some kind of a code that gets them like completely to the top of shit over there. So I'll have to contact him and see if I can get one of those. But yeah, go watch the video. You know, it's a prestige thing, people. You don't want people who are not nearly as badass as us getting more views on their videos. Now, do you? Do you? And likes and stuff? Of course you don't.
You know, nothing gets you laid quicker than being the first to comment on a new Asmodor post.
That's right. Or the second, or the third, or the tenth.
Yep.
You know, the
Ukrainian wenches and Eastern European broads dry up pretty quick, and before you know it, you're just going to be stuck with, you know, I don't know.
Look, just go out wherever the hotties are. And show them, say, look here, I commented on this Asmodor thing. And they're like, oh, you commented on an Asmodor thing. Let me take my clothes off. Right? Yeah. And so that's how it works. All right. Well, and my Trovo too. Follow my Trovo. What is it? Trovo.tv, right? Is it Trovo.tv or no, Trovo.live, isn't it? Trovo.live.
Yeah, Trovo.live /
Trovo.live/Asmodor. That's easy enough. All right. So I guess let me check and make sure nobody's got their hand up. Nope, nobody's got their hand up. So I guess we're going into shutter down for tonight. Hopefully posting this on Odyssey will Man Animal's back. Man Animal, you were wanting to call in. We'll give you this one chance. If you want to raise your hand, we have time to take your call now. We'll do that real quick before we go.
Man Animal. Is that a reference to what is it, Battlefield Earth?
I don't know, but his little bio thing there is a reference to Full Metal Jacket. No boom boom with Soul Brother, but
all joggers must fucking hang.
Yeah, that's right. This a mighty fine spiffleman of Alabama Black Snake, but it ain't too motherfucking boo cool. Yeah, okay. another myth deconstructed by
Did you know that the gunner, you know, the famous scene in the helicopter where he's like, how do you tell if they're combatants or civilians? Or how do you tell if they're VC or civilians? Well, the ones that run are VC. The ones that don't run are dedicated VC or whatever. The gunner, the actor. He was originally going to be Sergeant.
But how do you shoot women and children? Oh, it's easy. You just don't lead them so far.
As much. Yeah. He was originally cast to be Sergeant Hartman. But Arlie Emery was the technical or military advisor. And he felt that he should have the role. And so he sent an audition video of himself being thrown, people were throwing tennis balls at him, and he screamed insults and drill instructor jargon for 15 minutes or whatever. That's the legend, without breaking cadence. And, you know, what's his face, saw that and was like, well, we got to have Arlie Emery as
Hartman. What's his face? I'm sitting here racking my, I can't believe I can't think of his name. It's the same guy that did Dr. Strangelove and all.
And The Shining. And
Stanley Kubrick.
Kubrick, yeah. Space Odyssey, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. It looks like Man Animal is not going to raise his hand. He's left the chat. He must be having some sort of either technical snafu or... people at home are not respecting the fact that he's trying to call in and bothering him. That's another rule. If you want to call in to anything Crypto Report related, before the show, cage your family. let's see. Well, I don't think he's going to call in. Ace told him to raise his hand and call in, but he's not. So I guess if you want to throw a couple of questions in the chat, tag me and I'll answer them. But Paladin says, any chance of weekly DUA shows again?
That's the goal. Things are kind of chaotic in a good way.
Yeah.
At the moment. But yeah, I think eventually we can get back on track. Have like actual regularly scheduled shows.
Yeah. Well, that's any chance of Lamote coming back on them, or are they going to be stuck listening to me and other guests?
Sadly, I think she's done. She might pop in for like a cameo now and then, but I think she's done.
Well, you've got to keep her barefoot and pregnant. So you don't want pregnant women getting too near electronics.
She's like, they clean themselves. She's got to stay busy.
That's right. That's right. You did get that log into your Amazon. I went on your wish list and bought you that family size cage.
Oh, here's a good link. You can't use metal links when you're assembling it. You got to use twist ties, otherwise it rattles too much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Let's see. Anybody else? No, it looks like that's all the questions. So, hey, everybody, thanks for joining us. I didn't think anybody was actually going to even listen, but because I didn't announce it until so late, it was kind of a last minute thing. So hopefully tomorrow we'll have a DUA. Hate Farmer will whip up something awesome for you, unless it doesn't happen. It's other than that.
Shit. As likely as not, that'll be the case. It is my intention at the moment to do a DUA.
Yeah. And if he doesn't have a DUA,
it's all your fault.
Who's mine or theirs?
Everyone. I split the blame equally. I am not responsible.
If he doesn't have a DUA, you can definitely go over to his Trovo channel and listen to last week's DUA, if you haven't heard it. You can go to his Odyssey channel and listen to the old classic Duckslands, or you can go to my Odyssey channel and check out one of the classic shows I've uploaded there. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining. We love you. No homo. Always got to throw that in there. No homo. I tell you, the reason I tell you that we love you is because you deserve to know. All right. Have a good one. Thanks for joining me, Hate Farmer.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Good night, everyone.
Good night.